And Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon there, Mike.
Well, good afternoon, sir.
Congratulations for Wintergreen being rated number one by the Reader's Choice.
Well, yeah. They don't have anything higher.
Oh no, that's quite the honor.
I know. I really appreciate that.
You got an advanced copy. They don't come out till tomorrow.
I know. I'm going to sell this on the black market. Somebody wants out there. Oh, I want a copy. Oh no, that's really great, and I do sincerely appreciate folks that voted for our company, and we try to live up to those standards on a daily basis, whether we're landscaping or we're doing maintenance or selling flowers in our florist shop or doing plants. I mean, we put the customer first every single time, and we're full of information. All you got to do is ask the questions, just like this radio show. Ask the questions, and I'll give you the answers.
There you go. So honesty pays.
Most of the time, I got the answers.
Oh, you got an answer all the time.
Well, I make up a lot of them.
No.
No, I don't. I don't make up a lot of them. So anyway, thank you for listening today. And this is a garden show, and I talk about, what's happening out there in the gardening world as far as, the seasons. And like, this is spring. I love it. It's gorgeous. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But if you have questions about anything in your yard that you'd like to know about and I can help you with, the number to call is 673-4464, and I'll give you, hopefully, the information that will set you on the right path to gardening success. And when I started, I really didn't know what I was doing when I started. I mean, I kind of did. I knew the information, but, I'd never been on radio before, that kind of thing. But I found out over the long haul that common sense solutions and easy things for people to learn and not make the same mistake in their yard, or if they're buying equipment, or if they're buying plants somewhere, what to look for in a certain place. And some plants love full sun, some like full shade, some like half and half, and a lot of folks that come into the nursery, they're looking for something I need this and I need that, and the first question I usually ask if I'm there to wait on them, and that's not often a lot anymore, but are you in sun or shade? And how's your soil? And is it clay? Is it, and tell them why I'm asking these questions, because that particular plant will grow in full sun. It's tough, it's hardy, and it doesn't need a lot of care. Or this one needs half a day of shade, and it can't take that hot afternoon sun. So you're educating folks as they buy things. And often, one of the biggest mistakes, and this is not the body of what I'm going to say today, but one of the biggest mistakes folks make, several big mistakes. One, that overwatering thing that I always harp on. I tell them how to water. I tell them, the type of soil to put in and when to fertilize, how much to fertilize, all the basic stuff. So I want them to have success. I want that plant to just grow and be beautiful for them and not cause them any problems. But sometimes folks say, "Well, I want a hedge. I want to do a privacy hedge, and I want to get some plants that will make that happen."
Cactus would do that.
Yeah, cactus will give you privacy. Nobody will go through that, dude. But it doesn't grow real fast.
No,
here. That's
the problem. Pretty a slow grower.
Yeah, slow growing. But I'll say, "Well, how much space do you have?" Well, I got 40 feet, and I was thinking of getting 20 of them. And I said, "Well, you would be buying way too many plants for a 40-foot spot. You can plant them if it's a photinia, which is called firebush, grows really fast, has red leaves, is gorgeous, makes good privacy screen, and they want to put 20 in a 40-foot length. That's way overplanted. You don't have to buy that many, and I could let them buy their 20 if they want and make." make the profit on the 20 they bought. But in 3 or 4 years, they'd be going, man, it's too much. What do I do? How do I take care of them? I mean, I'm going to take some of them out because it's way too crowded and this kind of thing. So you explain to the homeowner that if this plant gets 7 feet tall and 6 feet, 7 feet wide at maturity, so you can put these 5 feet apart instead of 2 feet apart, and instead of buying 20 of them, you only buy 12 or something like that. And, you know, they're thankful about, wow, you saved me X amount of money, but then they'll buy some other things that they weren't normally going to buy, and it all works out. And we make it a habit, and that's been our philosophy since day one, is how can we be helpful to the buyer, the person, the customer that comes in and wants to landscape their yard or plant an apple tree, or how many apple trees can I plant, or do I need a pollinizer? And so you give them all that information, and they appreciate it, and consequently they come back, and they continue to come back, and that's why your business thrives, because you give them good information, how to plant it, how to water it, how to fertilize it, how to prune it, you know, what they can expect in X amount of years for that tree or that shrub to look like, or when will it bloom, how long does it bloom, and those are the kinds of things that, like a new homeowner, let's say a young couple comes in, and they got their first home, it's a bare lot, you know, what do I do? And, you know, give me some dimensions, and I'll show you some of the things that you can do, and don't try to buy all of them at once. Just buy a few, place them around, and see what that looks like, and then you can come back and buy others to fill in if you've got that space available so that you don't crowd them. Because so many times, in fact, yesterday, a lady called me and wanted an estimate to clean her landscape up. So I went to the home and met she and her husband. And the landscape was very, very mature, 10 years, I think it was, it's been in. But things were really tight. They were way too close. And, you know, it was kind of brushy, kind of not well taken care of, and it was okay, but not pruned enough, not shaped enough. And as I spent an hour with them walking through their entire yard, looking at all the different plants and, you know, what they liked and what they didn't like, and so consequently, and I told them, I said, we are just booked up our eyeballs right now, and I can probably do the job in the, you know, late summer or fall. And they said that was fine, but it was a case of too many plants too close together, and because whoever landscaped it, or maybe it was a professional, maybe not, put too many in, and so consequently you've got things that are not developing, not looking good, because there's way too many, they're way too close. But that's what we try to do at our nursery. That's what I try to do in our landscaping, so that people have a good feel and they like what we do when we're finished. And that's why we're number one. Haha. Thank you all for doing that. But what, you have a question, sir?
No, I was going to say it's well deserved. You guys do a great job out there.
Well, we try, and I beat my crew every day before they get in the trucks and drive away.
Take them out of their shackles and chains.
Okay, take the shackles off. You're going to work. No, my crews, my people are very nice. I get compliments on them all the time, and how helpful they are, and what a good job they do. So. I'm really appreciative of it, because I'm not with them. You know, they know what to do. They know what's going on. I remind them of things as I drive around. I see stuff that, why didn't they do that? Or why didn't they, you know, on this, on the next morning, mm-hmm. I say, by the way, at so-and-so's house or such-and-such business, I noticed that these things were growing a little bit too large for that one particular area. And the usual comment is, yeah, we noticed that, and we're going to get to it, but we just didn't have the time because we had to get to another client's house.
Oh, so, okay.
And it's understandable, because they handle a lot of clients in any one day.
Oh, sure. You know, yeah, they're booked up too.
Yeah, they are. That's why I'm not booking anymore. I mean, I've turned down, Oh, it's amazing how much work I've turned down in the last 2 years because I can't do it. I don't have the people, you know. That's, that's the other thing. You can't hire anybody. There ain't nobody out there wanting to work. Goodness. Ah,
you still looking people or you got?
Well, I finally got one here last week, a young man, and he's excellent. And,
oh, okay,
and,
cool.
He's doing real well, but I could use more.
All right. You know? So they should contact you?
Yeah, well, they can call the nursery or I can hire them direct or they can go through, what's that employment agency there on Garden Valley? And
I used to know.
Oh, shoot. The name escapes me.
It's a bird cardinal, isn't it?
No. It's if you are, oh, gosh. If you were going to drive up to, my mind's a blank.
Yeah, mine too.
I already got other things going. But anyway, getting with the program here. I'm sorry. I gave a good commercial for Wintergreen, but you know.
Back at the ranch.
I was wondering if anybody out there besides me has noticed the last few days that leaves are popping out on many trees. I mean, first it was the flowering things about 2 weeks ago. The flowering plums were the white ones that were coming out. And then now some of the pink flowering plums are coming out. And then there's a few of the flowering cherries getting ready to go. And it's really looking like spring here in Douglas County. We got a call?
We do have a phone call.
That was quick.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
A couple of things. You should swing by Winston Section Road and see the cherry trees in full white blossom.
You know what?
And
I go by there every single morning.
No.
Oh, well, good.
I do. It's beautiful. I've watched them all bloom.
Lovely.
Yes.
Hey, I have a question about my grass.
Yeah.
My grass is turning into crabgrass.
Uh-huh.
It's not as, you know, it's not as grassy. It's getting more crabgrassy, and I'm wondering, it's a big yard, so I heard that maybe you can aerate it and then do something. I don't know, but would you help me with that? Because I'm pretty picky and want a nice grassy yard.
Well, you know, this project that we're finishing up tomorrow, the homeowners had the same problem, and of course they had an additional problem with a big tree in their front yard that had roots right on the surface, so that was bad. But in their backyard, they had all kinds of different grasses, and what we've done is we've thatched it, in other words, raked out all the dead stuff and kind of opened it up, and then we aerated it, which pulls plugs out. Then we reseeded with a fine grass seed and fertilized everything. So whatever is left is going to be green and beautiful. But problem here in Douglas County, everything grows and everything flies around. There are seeds that are so small you can't see them, but they're flying around and they land in people's yards and they just do that. There's not very many perfect lawns in all of Douglas County, but thatching, aerating, and fertilizing will at least turn what you have green. And if you mow it on a regular basis, it's not going to look bad. It's not going to look perfect, but it's not going to look bad.
So thatching has to be done by a professional, right?
No, you can rent a thatching.
Thatching is different than aerating. You have to thatch it, meaning
you're combing all the dead stuff out, all the bad stuff.
Oh, got you. Okay.
And you can rent one from Roseburg Rentals. You can rent a thatching machine and take it home. It's like a big heavy-duty lawnmower, only it doesn't cut grass. It thins out the dead grass.
How long does that last, Mike?
Oh,
three. Do you have to do that every year?
No. 3 to 5 years or even longer in some cases.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what kind of grass should I plant with?
A perennial rye is good, and we sell...
Perennial rye.
Yeah, we sell the best blend of perennial rye that has been on the market now for quite some time. It's good stuff.
Do I have to aerate or can I just thatch?
You can thatch, but aeration actually pulls soil plugs out of the soil, so that when you fertilize, that soil gets down into the root zone of the grass that's already there and re-energizes it.
Okay. Totally makes sense. Hey, thank you. I probably won't do the whole yard, but I am going to experiment with some of the yard.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I appreciate you guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate that.
All righty.
Bye.
We're already at a commercial for crying out.
Yeah, that went quick, didn't it?
Where did time go?
I know, 21 minutes.
Jeez Louise, did I talk that long? I'm sorry.
Long-winded Mike Winters.
Yeah, way to go, Windy Winters.
We'll be right back with more on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
That it is, and we're back. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, we are back. And, you know, I was talking earlier before that nice lady called me about the spring and how beautiful it is here in Douglas County. And if you drive around, if you go into California, for instance, you won't see the same type of beauty that we experience here. And maybe in certain places in the mountainous regions and things like that. But the types of plants that we have here and the climate that we have here makes it really, really good for so many plants you can't even name them all, for crying out loud. We got another call?
We do have another call.
Goodness gracious, I'll get through this.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Okay, great. Say, I've got about a 3 or 4 year old nectarine tree dwarf, and the leaves are starting to come out, but I think I've got a serious case of leaf curl. Now, I sprayed it twice during the winter, but I don't know, something didn't go right.
Do you see any bug damage anywhere on the trunk?
No, uh-uh.
Well, you know what? I think you're being a little bit premature. I think as it's still cold, it's still rainy, and I think as the days get warmer and sunnier, you'll see those leaves straighten out. It's kind of their self-defense mechanism. You know, if they leafed all the way out, you know, they're being cautious, I guess. And I see a lot of trees like that in that state right now. And so it's now. How long has this tree been in?
Oh, about maybe, I know for 3 years for sure. It's just a small tree, and I've kept it cut back. Well, you were up here working in our place here about too long ago, but it's 3 to 4 years old. But it's a dwarf.
Have you ever noticed this happening in previous years?
No.
Well, give it. Be patient and give it some time and see what happens over the next couple of weeks. Don't water it. Don't fertilize it. Just leave it alone.
Okay. Will do.
All right. And just look at it. Talk to it, too. Say, hey, straighten out, tree. Let's go.
Now, one other question. If it does come up with a serious leaf curl, I'm just dead for this summer?
Well, not necessarily. You know, you have to, if it's got a leaf curl, what you might do now is pull off a leaf and unfold it and look under. See if you see any bugs or any evidence, and maybe pull off 2 or 3 leaves from different parts of the tree and see if you see anything that could be damaging on the underside of the leaf. Hmm. And that will tell you something.
Okay, so if there is something there, I can go ahead and spray it again?
Yeah, if there's something on it. But make sure that when you spray it, you don't overdo it. And, you know, you know, if 2 tablespoons.
It's all bloomed.
Okay, if 2 tablespoons good, 4 must be better. No, don't do that, okay?
No. Okay. I try to follow the directions.
Good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate the effort.
Oh, you're sure welcome. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. There we go. The lines are open once again for
again?
You.
Again? We got another call already?
No, not yet. I was just making sure.
That's two in a row. Bingo. I'm not even done with my first page of notes, for goodness sakes.
We're half done already.
I know. I'm just amazed at how beautiful alligator it is in Douglas County. You know, it's like everywhere you look, there's something in bloom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, most of them are trees, but there's a lot of shrubs that are.
Sure.
Have you noticed a very bright yellow shrub that's blooming and it's real bushy and it's just bright? It's like shocking. It's like yellow. Anyway, that's one of the early bloomers. It's called forsythia. And people use them as hedges or one. I saw one here, and I can't remember exactly where it was, that somebody, as it got larger, it pruned off a lot of the bottom branches, and it looks like a tree now, not a single stem tree, a multi-stem tree, but it's gorgeous. I mean, it's really, really pretty, and they're pretty fast growing, and they need a lot of space to grow, and it's like you see them in hedges and things like that. That's one of those shrubs you don't want to put, you know, 4 feet apart, because they'll be fighting each other in 3 years. I mean, that's how fast they grow. I've seen some really, really large ones, so that's how that goes.
What's it called?
Forsythia.
Forsythia.
Yeah, Forsythia, something like that.
I-N-G.
I-N-G-E-D. Forsythia. All those other letters are not sounded out. But, you know, we still got some bare trees coming on, and there's some like walnuts and, maybe some of the other fruit trees. I haven't paid much attention to them, but they're budding up and they're starting to come out and look good. And of course, like I say, some of the shrubs are the hydrangeas, for instance. They're a big, beautiful shrub that blooms all summer long, and they're budding up and they're starting to pop. I mean, it's when's the first of April? What day?
Friday.
2 days?
I think so.
2 days from now? Okay. Well, you get into by the middle of April, just about everything is in bloom, flowering, going, growing. I mean, if I could have a constant March, April, and May, that would be the perfect time, and just go back into just recycle those 3 months, you know. I don't want to get into where it's 106. I hate that. And the trees and the shrubs don't like it either, so there. But, you know, over the years, I've lived on a whole lot of places, and like I say, there's nothing more beautiful in the spring than in Douglas County or even the whole state of Oregon, because, you know, you go to the coast and you see the wild rhodies and the wild azaleas and all that. I don't know that they're blooming right now, but I saw a rhodie in bloom today, which I thought that was very early. And because, you know, usually the rhodies are April-ish, May, you know.
A little
there.
Later.
and so I thought, well, it's a little early for that rhodie, but it was gorgeous. Looking good. I said, hey, I ain't waiting around for this.
I'm ready to go.
But there are some rhododendrons, especially the dwarf type that only get two or three feet tall.
Yeah.
And they're some of them are really deep purple and violet blue. They are early bloomers. They'll bloom in January, for crying out
good
loud.
Heaven. When,
yeah, and it can snow on them. It doesn't hurt them at
all.
They don't care. I'm going to bloom anyway. So what's a little snow, man? You know,
bring it on, baby.
Bring it on. I'm not. It's okay. But, you know, we've got so much here that is beautiful. And as you're driving around, I do this automatically because I'm in the business of growing things and landscaping and all that. So I notice a lot more. You know, if you were in a cattle business, as you're going out, you know, out to Glide or somewhere.
You notice the cattle.
Yeah. Well, look at those 15 head of what's. And, or if you're a sheep rancher or something like that, you notice what's in your.
Look at the shape on that one.
Yeah. What's wrong with that thing? too well fed. But, you know, they're. Douglas County is great. The weather is perfect for most plants. There's, you know, and when I say the weather, I'm saying the typical weather pattern. I'm not talking about Snowmageddon or a freak snowstorm in the middle of February or something like that.
Or a windstorm.
A windstorm that takes your roof off your nursery. But other than that, this is a pretty mild mild place. So consequently, we get a lot of things that, and we're by Western Garden Book, we're a zone 7. And you read the plants that grow in zone 7, you go, that's this, that's that. But, you know, there are plants here that grow well that are zone 9, which is a warmer climate. Mm. But for whatever reason, they're growing here as well. So, you know, we have a really, really good growing climate.
Like the redwood trees.
The redwood trees. Jeez Louise, I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
I think I found that house you were talking about at Hughcrest.
With the 4 or 5 in the right up next to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take a left right there at the YMCA and go about half a block down, and it's on the right, and you go, whoa.
Mamma mia, they got a problem.
They do, and I told the owner that, but he said, he kind of shined it off. I was like, okay, see you guys. Oh, well. Oh gosh, but you know we have I'm still fumbling around here on my plants and stuff, but there's a lot of things that are growing very, very well this early, and there's a lot of exotic types that are hard to kill as well, and now we're getting into the weed business, you know, because the one lady called about the weeds, and we just did a job out there off of Harvard, you know, trying to rectify the weed situation in the guy's lawn. And you can't. I mean, it's a temporary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you are a regular you use regular fertilizer and you do your mowing on a schedule and you don't mow it too short and you water properly, the stinking weeds seem to pop up.
Still going to get in
there. They're going to get in there. I mean, they're going to sit. They're going to grow up between the pavement and the concrete and the street and say, "Hey, look at that lawn. Let's get there. How do we do that?" You know, but the weeds love it here. The plants love it here. And like I say, some of those weeds are very exotic and hard to kill. But you know, you just got to keep working at it.
I can't believe it. It's time for a break already.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Let's do it. Speaking. No.
What?
I was going to say something about weeds, but I... No.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
We'll just leave it alone for now.
This is a family show.
It is. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, that break went quick, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Talking about Easter lilies and vines. And
vines and stuff that you forget to bring me. Yeah.
I know. I will bring it next
week. I don't. Am I on? I mean, you pulled that
No, thing. You're on.
Oh, okay.
You're on. No, all I was potting the music down so we could hear you.
That's the music switch. There's about 47,000 switches on this thing, and I'm supposed to remember? Golly. Anyway, I was talking about weeds that grow up in the cracks of your, not only your lawn, but in the cracks of your driveway or in the pavement in your street and things like that. I mean, they grow, period, because we have that perfect climate for them.
They love us.
They love it, man. And they'll grow in your plant beds. They grow on your lawns.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And it's a real pain in the neck. But now is the time to tackle them. This is, you know, we're getting some nice days. I mean, today it's raining, so I wouldn't do anything. It was raining when I walked in here.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
I didn't notice.
Not hard, but, you know, drizzly. And no sense in spraying on a drizzly day because it just dilutes the spray and washes off. But as soon as you get a nice sunny day where it's actually warm, that's why Roundup herbicide was invented to take care of those weeds. And I know there's a lot of folks that are against that kind of thing, like herbicides and, mm-hmm. and Roundup in general, and all that. But it is a fast-acting herbicide, and but the problem is it doesn't kill weeds permanently, because if there's weed seed in the ground, of course, you can spray all your weeds and they die, and you know, you go out 2 weeks later and see a brand new crop. Well, if you get on a good schedule and just keep your sprayer and your Roundup ready, you have to stay with it this time of year. And if you can stay with it for 4 or 5 weeks in a row, a little bit here, a little bit there, and if they don't grow and produce seed, you're ahead of the game. I'm not saying that it's going to be a total kill or anything mm-hmm. like that, but you're ahead of the game. I mean, not so much will reappear each time, so you can
get a handle on it.
Get a handle on it. And so, you know, then after you've done that, so several sprays a year, you know, are required, but it's less each time. But if you let them go and they grow and they get big and you go, I'll get that next Saturday, but then you go fishing instead or shopping or something like that, well, then they put on seeds and the birds and the wind blow seeds around, and guess what? You got another crop coming
right back at you.
Yeah. So now is the good time for the first application. And like I say, follow up at the minimum at least once a month, with more applications. And it's a lot faster than pulling them out by hand or hoeing them. And however, if you want an exercise program to keep in shape, pulling weeds will help you in your exercise program. It can turn into a positive.
What's the word? Cardiovascular?
Yeah, you get on your knees and you scoot along the ground pulling these things. You get up and dump them and go back and do it again 30, 40 times. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go, whoa, what's wrong with my knees and my back?
Oh, my back. Lord.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, back to beauty, you know,
yes.
Of course, there are numerous shrubs and trees in bloom right now as you drive around checking out the colors. Make a list of what you like or take a photo with your magic phone and bring it to our nursery or whatever nursery you might go to. And we'll see if we have it in stock, if that's what you want. We don't have everything in stock. That's why I'm glad there's other stores around, because I often buy things from other stores because mm-hmm. we don't have it, and, to insert it into a landscape project. But one of the things you could do, if you're driving down the neighborhood and you see these beautiful flowers that are just outrageous and you'd like some and there's somebody out in the yard, stop. Ask the homeowner, please, what are those beautiful shrubs or what are those beautiful flowers? Could you tell me what their name is? And most folks that work in their yard are very friendly folks. I mean, and they'll share with you until you've been there 20 minutes and you're thinking, I got to go. I got an appointment. But they're telling you all about the yard and all about the problems and where they bought this and what this does and all that.
And their medical history.
Yeah. But don't put any Roundup on them. Yeah, right. No kidding. But right. Man, ask them questions like, you know, what's the name of them? That would be the obvious one.
Yeah.
And
right.
how long do the blooms last?
You know,
some bloom for 2 weeks, some bloom for 2 months, some bloom almost all year, you know? So that's what you need to know. And, you know, ask them, well, how old is that particular plant? And, mm-hmm. you know, get an idea, an education of what that plant is all about. And then you can go from there. And then, you know, how big does it get? Or you have any problems with it? Or, you know, what kind of care does it need? You know, you can get an education from somebody who is already doing it and has mastered what to do with that particular plant and make it so beautiful. You got a free education there, and you can duplicate what they did, and consequently you have you can replicate that same thing in your front yard. And
nice.
And like I say, most homeowners love to talk about their yard and plants. So I'll tell you, when I go to see them in like this place I was at yesterday, not only did I have to go through and tell her and her husband, you know, what needs to be done.
Yeah.
They had, you know, numerous questions. Well, what would you do instead, or how, and how big would that be, or how would that affect the total landscape? And that's part of that whole education process. The more information you can give someone, the better success that they're going to have in the long term.
Makes sense.
Exactly. And that's what people really appreciate. You know, you make it easier for them, or more beautiful for them, more lower maintenance for them, especially if they're retired and don't want to work in the yard all the time. But there are some people that's what they
dedicate. Their thing.
That's their thing, baby. They love that yard. And they're going to work from sun up to sundown. And so, well, you want a job? I got some. Please.
You want to get paid for your work?
Yeah. But, you know, a conversation is gonna help you in your decision to, you know, get one of those plants or not, or, you know, at least tempt you to go to a nursery or someplace that are selling plants and look over what they have and say, yeah, I like that. That would look good in my yard. I'm sure that it would work. And, you know, just go shopping. See what's available. There's so much available anymore. There are thousands and thousands of plants available. I run into stuff, you know, I go into Kmart, Lowe's, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Or Home Depot. And they got a jillion plants out there. Mm-hmm. I can't afford to buy that many in 3 years, and they got them out for the spring. But they get, you know, 1,000 customers a week or whatever. And I go, wow, what's that? That is so cool. So I'm reading the tag. And sometimes I buy one or a pony pack, and I take them back to my nursery. Then I begin to raise them and, you know, take some home and plant some around just to see.
Experiment with
exactly,
them.
Just to see what they're going to look like and under what conditions can they grow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if they're that beautiful this time of year, why not put more in? You know,
that makes sense. Yeah.
And another thing is, if you're driving around and we have so many parks. We got city parks and county parks, state parks, all that kind of stuff. But if you spot something in one of the parks, whether it's a city or a county park, if they got an office there or there's a park person there, stop and ask them, hey, what is that that's in bloom? Do you like it? Is it easy to do? And they'll give you the lowdown, especially if it's somebody that works in the parks. And say, oh, no, that's a pain in the neck. You got to prune it every other week, or it grows out into the street.
And it's got thorns.
And it's got thorns, and I don't know why anybody planted four of them there. So that gives you an answer of some sort, though.
Sure.
And it's good. It's good to ask the questions. And right now, one of my favorite plants, I got many favorites, but one of my favorites is camellias, and they're blooming all over the place. Their flower looks like a big giant rose flower, but not exactly, but kind of like it.
Yeah.
And they got beautiful pinks and reds and whites, and there's even yellow flowered camellias. I haven't come across any, but I read about them. But they're just a gorgeous large evergreen shrub. So when they're not not in bloom, and they bloom early, you know, some of mine were blooming first part of February, starting to just barely open, and they'll bloom a couple of months. I had some actually blooming in May last year. So, you know, they don't all bloom at once. It's like there'll be some first primary buds, and they open up early, and you go, wow, that's pretty. And then 3 weeks later, there's some more buds opening up. And then 3 weeks after that, there's some late buds opening up. So you got color for about 3 months,
nice.
For crying out loud.
Yeah.
and the leaves are shiny green. They're kind of shaped a little bit like a rhododendron leaf, only they're not exact, but they're very shiny. They look really waxy. So even when the flowers aren't on it, the camellia shrub or tree, whatever you might develop from it, is still a beautiful thing for your landscape, whether it's front yard, backyard, side yard, it doesn't matter.
Do they come back the following year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
they're
okay.
They're like a tree. I've got six of them, I think, six in the back of my nursery where I built a planter, and I was going to talk about them a little later here, but they've been in bloom, gosh, I don't know, at least a month, but some of the trunks are at the base, they're like 6 inches in diameter, and they're 10 to 12 feet tall, and about 8 feet wide, and so they're full of blooms, and they're really, really, really beautiful. And I've pruned them into that shape, into a tree shape, and you can keep them as a shrub by, you know, keeping them small and pruning them smaller. But I like mine to get up, because with more branching, you get more color, you get more flowers.
Okay.
And, you know, the larger the plant, the more the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can have them either way if you want to keep them small.
And you could use them as a hedge then.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
They would be a beautiful hedge, but you wouldn't want to, again, plant too close together because of their ultimate size.
Yeah. They'd kill each other out, so to speak.
We got a break?
We do.
Okay. I'll be back.
All righty. We definitely will be on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, we're back talking Easter lilies and a whole lot more.
Yeah, we only talk Easter lilies on the break, though, so nobody else could hear it.
It's a secret.
It's a secret about Easter lilies. Oh, gosh, Easter lilies are beautiful. But I've been talking about camellias and how nice they are. And they can, like I say, be a shrub, an evergreen shrub, or an evergreen small tree.
Yeah.
Now, I read something in my research that said about some very old ones that were in, like, southern Asia that were up to 20 feet tall. So that can be a pretty sizable camellia.
Southern Asia, would that be China?
No, not more coastal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know my geography.
Well, you ought to get a map and look at it once in a while.
Google that.
Yeah, Google it, right. But, you know, camellias, you know, people look at them and when they're in bloom and they're in a pot. And they say, but will they survive? Or how will they do in the winter? Or how will they do in the summer? And, they do fine. Period. Mm. They don't like that. You can grow them in full sun, but they don't like it.
Yeah.
The leaves will kind of brown up a little bit when it's 106, and the flowers in full sun kind of fade very quickly. but if you have a like morning sun, afternoon shade kind of situation, or filtered shade with a big, say you've got three big maple shade trees in there, but you got space in between, you want to put some camellias in, that's a perfect spot.
Okay,
that's a perfect spot. They do really, really well that way. But these guys are native to Eastern and Southern Asia, and there are over 3,000 named varieties.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm sure since the research that I was doing on them, it's old research, there might be 4,000 named
varieties. There's got to be one there for you.
Yeah, because these mad scientists who love these trees and flowers and shrubs, they're always trying to cross-pollinate this with this and trying to come up with a new color or a new size or, you know, a new growth pattern.
More durable
like
or whatever.
Yeah, more durable, exactly. And, you know, they spend their whole life doing that, and you go, whoa, that's pretty good.
It actually works.
Yeah, it does work. But camellias, like I say, they grow in a partial sun kind of shade situation. And like I say, early morning sunlight till, say, noon, 1 o'clock. And then, you know, as the day heats up, if they're in a shade or a filtered shade or something like that, they do a lot better. And they won't die in the cold. They won't die in the heat. But the heat and the full sun will make them look a little shabby.
A little.
And, you know, it's not that kind of thing. But they like a very good draining, mulchy soil. and like I say, hot sun is not their favorite place to be planted. And they will live in that hot sun. But like I said earlier, the flowers will fade very quickly. And the leaves will burn in a full hot sun. So
they're not a sunflower.
Yeah, they're not a sunflower. Definitely not. Sunflowers are those great big suckers that go in the sun, boy. I'll tell you that. There are some varieties that require a lot of shade, So when you're choosing them, you know, if there's not a tag on them, you can ask the plant salesperson, well, will this, you know, where will this grow the best, or where will, and in the shade, it's interesting in the shade, those that prefer a lot of shade, they will bloom longer and hold their blooms longer because it is shady. It's just the nature of the deal. And you can keep them, like I said earlier, as a large shrub, and that's fine. But I found that pruning them into a tree shape, they really get gorgeous. And like I say, I got those at the nursery that, they're, 8-10 feet tall,
yeah.
eight feet wide, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're planted in pure bark mulch. There is no soil in those planting holes because we built a block planter on the backside of our nursery building. And about 3.5 feet wide and 3 feet deep, and then just filled it with bark mulch. And these camellias been in there 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're great.
They're now, still calling it home.
Oh, yeah, they're saying, yeah, this is good. I should have brought in some of the flowers. I don't know if Kyle could have taken pictures of them or something
sure
like that.
Sure he could have.
Yeah.
He finds a way.
Yeah, I know. He's a very talented guy. But... I prefer mine as a nice small tree. They're exotic almost. They're just really, really, really pretty. And when the blooms are done, which could be, you know, May, something like that, depends on the variety, that's when you do the pruning, after the blooms have fallen off.
Okay.
And what happens when you do that, you can prune it in any shape or size that you want, but what happens is that you're not taking any bloom buds for next year off.
Oh, okay.
If you wait till winter, let's say you wait till December, well, all the buds for the flowers are on there, and you're pruning them all off.
You're taking it away next year.
Exactly. So right after it blooms, it's done, okay, it's going to start putting on new growth. If you want to reduce the size or thin it out, that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And then it can set bloom buds after you've done pruning, and so you'll have blooms the following winter.
And keep it rolling.
Yeah. You got your hand on the switch.
Oh, we got about 10 seconds before the music.
Oh, the music coming on? We're done?
Pretty soon, yeah.
How could I get done so quick?
I don't know. It was fun.
Thank you for listening. It's been a fun show for me. I don't know about you, but appreciate your calling, listening, and hope you're learning something.
What's up for next week, or do you know yet?
I'm not quite sure. I've got some ideas here. It was more camellia talk, but also... just normal wear and care and tear and that kind of thing for spring.
Alrighty. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.